be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise and we begin singing our first hymn. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I am a poor and miserable sinner. Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and have justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent victory of sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a God and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Like newborn infants, hallelujah.
Long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, hallelujah.
Sing aloud to God our strength.
shout for joy to the God of Jacob.
In distress you called, and I delivered you.
I answered you in the secret place of thunder.
I am the Lord your God,
who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.
Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
And with honey from the rock I will satisfy you.
Like newborn infants, alleluia.
Long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, alleluia.
May by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Confessional reading is from the fifth commandment. You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. The central thought here is that God created us to care about other people and to help them in their times of need. What are the needs of people in my immediate community and society? They ask you to read Luke 10. How did the Samaritan view his relationship to the beaten man differently than the priest or the Levite did? As Christians, we look after our neighbors so that they may enjoy the life God has given them. What opportunities does God give me to help my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? From the moment of conception, every person whom God has created is our neighbor, and especially anyone in need of our help and assistance. How do we fear and love God in keeping the fifth commandment? First, we fear and love God by not harming our neighbor. Harming our neighbor includes murder, taking the life of another person without just cause. Psalm 10. The wicked man sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. Then they ask you to read about Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, and David and Uriah in 2 Samuel 11. Doing or saying anything that injures or endangers another person's life. Proverbs 24. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Then they ask that you read about Joseph's brothers in Genesis 37 and the physical oppression of the Israelites by the Egyptians in Exodus 1 and 5. Note, the Bible does not prohibit self-defense or defense of a neighbor when faced with bodily harm or death. Neglecting to assist people in bodily need, Deuteronomy 15. For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Harboring anger or hatred in our hearts against our neighbor. Matthew 5. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Romans 12. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The Old Testament reading for Quasimodo Genetai, the second Sunday after Easter, is from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, indeed. As I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is from St. John's first letter, the fifth chapter. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And as these three agree as one, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. Alleluia.
Alleluia. He has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. 8 days later, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 20th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 19. Same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in his name. Here endeth our gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you. singing the amen.
Our theme is the church has the authority to forgive sins based on our gospel reading. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Now when Jesus appeared to his disciples that first Easter evening, he showed them his hands and side. He did this to prove to them that he was indeed the same Jesus who had been crucified and buried. The doors were locked. Nevertheless, Jesus appeared before them without anyone letting him in. They assumed he was a ghost. But a ghost does not have flesh and bone as Jesus does. By showing them his hands, he proved that he was the same Jesus who was nailed to the cross. By showing them his side, he proved that he was the same Jesus who was pierced after he died upon the cross. John records, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. You see, this is the very same Jesus who was crucified, died, and buried. And now in his exalted state, which cannot be restricted by the laws of physics, he stands before his disciples alive. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Dear saints in Christ, the teaching of Jesus was punished in the place of mankind and suffered for the sins of the world has become very unpopular, even among those who claim to be Christian. They call the vicarious atonement of Christ barbaric and archaic, a remnant of primitive theology, which looks at God as an angry deity who must be appeased by sacrifice. They call the Father forsaking his Son upon the cross as divine child abuse. And so many have rewritten the reason Jesus died and rose to simply be an expression of God's love for you. Nevertheless, Jesus throws that theory into the trash when he meets with his disciples on the evening after he rose from the dead. Jesus shows them the marks of the nails in his hand and the spear in his side marks and says, "Peace be with you." So why did Jesus suffer and die? It was to win peace for you with God. Well, how was peace obtained? Jesus won for you forgiveness of sins by paying for your sins, by suffering, and by dying upon the cross. He makes this clear by saying, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Jesus won the victory over sin, death, and hell for you by bearing your sins upon the cross and dying for them. His blood makes propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And the Father vindicated Jesus, accepting his sacrifice for your sins. And he raised Jesus from the dead. When Jesus gave his disciples the authority to forgive and to withhold forgiveness of sins, he gave to his church what he had won for them upon the cross. The evening before Jesus suffered upon the cross, he told his disciples, "The Spirit of truth will take what is mine and declare it to you." And here, after Jesus has risen from the dead, he says to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." The Holy Spirit works in the church by taking what Christ earned for you upon the cross the forgiveness of sins, and giving it to sinners. This is called the office of the keys, which you learn is the special authority which Christ has given to his church upon the earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners and to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. The office of the keys exercises its power with words. A man tells a sinner that his sins are forgiven, and they are forgiven. The church is able to exercise this immense power with words because Jesus has already done the work to earn the forgiveness. The church does not earn your forgiveness. The church does not offer up pacifying sacrifices to God to appease his wrath. The church simply takes what Jesus gives her, the authority to forgive sins, and she wields this power with words. When Christ gave his church the authority to forgive sins, he instituted the office of the holy ministry. He did this so that his church may call men to preach the gospel, baptize, and administer the Lord's Supper, and yes, to forgive sins. You call these men pastors, which means shepherds. So when a pastor forgives sins, he is not exercising his own authority, but the authority of Christ, which he has given to his church on earth. Paul, who himself was a pastor, wrote of pastors, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." You see, the task of a pastor is to manage the mysteries of God, which Christ has given to his church on earth. Nevertheless, there are some who claim that pastors cannot forgive sins, because men cannot forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. In fact, there are very few churches you could go to where the pastor will forgive your sins, either publicly or privately. However, to deny that pastors have the authority to forgive sins is to deny that the church has the authority to forgive sins. And to deny that the church has the authority to forgive sins is to deny Jesus' clear words, which says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." To deny that the church has the authority to forgive sins is to deny that Jesus truly won forgiveness of sins for everyone upon the cross. When the church forgives sins, she simply declares what Christ has done. She simply exercises the authority which Christ has given to her, because Jesus has won your pardon, and the church has the right to declare that pardon to you. Finally, to deny that the church has the authority to forgive sins is to deny that the church is the bride of Christ. A husband gives everything that he owns to his wife, even his own body. Christ did no less for his bride, the church. And since Christ has won the power to forgive the sins of the world, the church has the power, because everything her husband has belongs to her. Additionally, Christ Jesus, her bridegroom, explicitly gave his church the authority to forgive sins. You see, without the forgiveness of sins, the church is not the church. You confess in the creed, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins." The Holy Christian Church is the communion of saints whose sins are forgiven. The Holy Christian Church is where sins are forgiven. And there is forgiveness of sins nowhere upon earth. except in the Christian church, where the gospel is proclaimed. So if you separate yourself from the Christian church, then you separate yourself from the forgiveness of sins and from Jesus who won forgiveness for you. Now it troubles people more than the claim that the church can forgive sins is that the claim that the church can withhold forgiveness. Nevertheless, it is essential to believe that the church has the authority to withhold forgiveness. The church has the authority to withhold forgiveness because a sinner can only be forgiven through faith. Jesus gave the church the authority to forgive sins by speaking words. He did this so that sinners could receive forgiveness freely as a gift through faith. However, if a sinner does not have faith, then he cannot be forgiven. The reason the church will refuse to forgive sins is because a person publicly shows that he does not have faith. The goal of the church is for everyone to believe the gospel, receive the forgiveness of sins, and be saved. But those who continue in sin without repenting do not have faith. They may think that they have faith because they know some basic facts about the Christian religion, but that is not faith. Faith is trusting in God's mercy for Jesus' sake to forgive sins. But if you are not sorry for your sins, then you do not have faith. For this reason, pastors should not only preach the gospel that shows how Jesus won the forgiveness of sins for all people, but you should also preach the law that sinners deserve to go to hell and that they must repent. And for this reason, pastors should not only forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. They should do this for the sake of their faith, so that they may be saved. But Thomas is criticized because he doubted Jesus' resurrection. Just because he wasn't when Jesus first appeared to the other disciples, and he didn't believe the disciples' report. For this reason, Thomas is often called Doubting Thomas. So there are two things you need to know about Thomas and his doubting. First, by doubting, Thomas did what every other disciple would have done and did do. All the gospel accounts of the resurrection report that the disciples doubted Jesus' resurrection when they first heard of it. Thomas did what they all did. John records Thomas speaking four times in the gospel. In each time, Thomas says what the other disciples were thinking, whether he is confessing his faith or doubting. Second, Thomas's doubt was a damnable sin. Thomas cannot defend himself that he has simply did what all the other disciples did when he doubted Jesus' resurrection. Thomas deserved to go to hell for his doubt, and he would have gone to hell had Jesus not graciously revealed himself to Thomas and opened up the skeptic's eyes to faith. Thomas doubted the report of Jesus' apostles that he had risen from the dead. By doubting their report, he doubted Jesus himself, who had multiple times predicted his own death and resurrection in Thomas's hearing. And by doubting, he disbelieved the scriptures of the Old Testament. So Jesus rebuked Thomas for his unbelief, telling him, "Do not be an unbeliever, but be a believer." Then he said, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Those words are also meant for you. You have no less of a certain witness of Jesus' death and resurrection than Thomas did. You have the writings of the holy apostles who witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection and recorded it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit himself. John wrote, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, the purpose of God's word is so that you may believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life from him, having your sins forgiven. The purpose of the church is so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ who forgives your sins and grants you eternal life. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So you find Jesus in his church. And you find his church where the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. And you find the proclamation of this forgiveness of sins only where God's holy word is followed. Where the church is built upon God's holy word. You have certainty in her words. And these words speak forgiveness and salvation to all who believe. Dear saints in Christ, the account of Thomas's doubt is a dire warning to you. Thomas wasn't the only one who doubted. Don't take comfort in that. That means that doubt can find you. You learned from Thomas that you should not doubt, because Holy Scriptures give you certainty in your salvation by giving you certainty in Christ. And when the church is founded upon Scripture, you have certainty that the church is founded upon Christ. The office of the keys is the most powerful authority wielded upon the entire earth. It's greater than the authority of Congress to declare war. It's greater than the authority of the president to launch nuclear weapons. It is the authority to open the very gates of heaven. And Christ has given this authority to his church upon earth, so that you may not doubt, but firmly believe your sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The peace that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh,
pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, like Thomas, we wrestle with faith amid doubts and fears. Grant us your Holy Spirit that believing we may see, and seeing we may rejoice in your Son and the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word, that all who hear may believe, and that believing they may live in righteousness and godliness until the day Christ returns as judge and Lord of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace, Lord, to our homes and enliven them by Christ's resurrected life. Let the forgiveness of sins reign among husbands and wives, parents and children. Assure those who live alone that they too are children, upheld by your right hand. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those who have been placed in authority in federal, state, and local governments. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor and to work for the benefit of all. Watch over and guard and keep our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, as your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst. Griffin, Barb, Mike, Robin, Carol, Jamie, Steve, Kathy, Ruth, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Alicia, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Billy, and the Leslie family. Comfort also those who weep with the blessed joy of Easter morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Clara, Monty Marie, and Bruce continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, preserve your Holy Communion and your Son's blessed supper among us. Give contrition and faith to those who gather at this altar. Unite them in their confession of your truth, and so bring them worthily to eat and drink Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins and eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, remember those who have wandered from the household of faith. Faithful to your promises, work all things in their lives to remind them of their need for your unending grace and steadfast love, that they may return to the faith and delight in your Son, crucified and raised for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, give us all things good and beneficial to us and to our salvation, and keep us from all things harmful. Through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
I don't think I put that one in.
No, you did. Yeah.
Wow.
There was one right before.
Drawing your intake?
Yep.
Okay. I just had it from a different source, that's why I didn't recognize the number.
Thank you.
continue the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. That we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Thank you, Bonnie, your courage. I'm going to do that for yourself. Thank you, drink the true blood of Christ. Thank you, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shed the remission of all your sins. Thank you, drink the true blood of Christ. Of his true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Father,
this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Which thou hast prepared me.
give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.